I'm Emily Foster.
And I'm Deanna Raphael.
And we're too damn young
to be this damn confused. I thought TBT stood for Turn Back Time.
I thought Zendaya was a new fad diet.
Is it pronounced meme or mem?
We don't know.
But we do care.
So we are talking to youths to hip us up to what's happening.
OMFG is a shot of pop culture Botox that will, fingers crossed, keep us young and fresh.
And super of the now.
We're doing this for us.
But we're also doing this for you, because let's face it,
you're probably pretty clueless.
Hello, Deanna. Cheng.
That's me, in the flesh.
I was so excited that you came to an exercise class with me.
Emily, don't even speak its name.
No. I won't speak the name.
No, we can. Let's talk about it. Let's get into it.
But it was just so nice because, you know, I often go to this class, and then all of a sudden, it's like I see your name on the piece of paper, and it made me so, I was like, Deanna Cheng is here. It made me so happy.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me to the class. I had a lot of feelings about the class because I haven't worked out in a real way in very long time. So, you know, other than hiking a little bit, walking, I haven't like worked out. I haven't
like muscles.
I haven't dealt with my muscles, you know? Yeah. And so a lot of emotion came up for me during the class because I felt so angry that I was so out of shape. You know, I just really was upset by it. Mm-hmm. And it was a bar method class.
She spoke the name.
I spoke the name. And flexibility is my worst thing.
Yeah, me too.
I am not a flexible bitch.
Me either.
So I'm better at I can deal with, and not that I could, you saw I was like struggling with 2 pound weights, but like I had a trainer for a couple years. I was in really good shape. I can do like, I'm better with lifting weights and doing that kind of stuff.
No, it's totally an uncomfortable class to be in when you're not flexible.
Ooh, girl.
It's like, and it's a bunch of ballerinas.
Right.
Who are like just, you know, bending over backwards and like doing the splits and whatever. So I totally feel you because I have struggled in that same way.
And it was just like these small little bitch-ass moves.
Yeah.
Like little bitchy-ass little moves
It's muscle exhaustion. So you do it until you're crying. And then it's time to stop. Yeah, it's crazy.
It was crazy. Yeah. And I would like to go back. I don't want to go back.
No, you do.
I don't want to.
I will say, and you know, I'm someone who has, I like working out. I like trying new workouts. This is what, for me, has whipped me into the best shape the fastest.
Why?
Because I think you're just toning you go through every muscle group and you exhaust it and it kills. But it's taken an hour of your life and you've done it all. You know, you can't go to a spin class and you're getting your arms and your tush and your everything.
I know. And look, I need to be – I felt things kind of release out of my body from this class. Like, I think, you know, there was a lot that went on. And I don't mean like gas. I mean just like emotions. And it just, you know, I would like to go back. And I appreciate you and your friendship and your support.
You come with me anytime.
But I didn't like it.
That's okay.
But what I do like is our guest today.
He's a real cute patoot.
He's basically the antithesis of a bar method class.
He really is. I would not want to see him in bar method.
No, I feel nervous.
Yeah, no, I just feel like he would not, I don't know, he wouldn't fare well in there.
I bet you you're right. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt, but I don't think he would.
Dan Levy, comedian, he had a special come out just like a week and a half ago on CISO, and I know he's going to talk to us about that.
Cool.
And he has 2 young children.
Awesome.
Babies. I don't know. They seem very young according to social media, and I'd love to just talk to him about putting them on social media and how he feels about the future.
Right. And Dan Levy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know him from his bit where he was at the gym with Justin Timberlake and he like ran into him somehow, and he was like, oh, those are really, he said to him, like, oh, your sneakers are really cool. He said that to Justin Timberlake. That's, and he's so like, funny. Oh, these are just my whatever, whatever shoes.
Oh my God.
Like, these are my whatever, whatever sneakers. I think he's whatever, whatever guy.
Perfect. We're going to figure it all out.
Great.
OMFG. Well, we're here.
We're here.
Dan.
Me.
My God. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, guys, come on. Thank you for having me.
I mean, it's like a dream. Congratulations on your special on CISO.
Thank you so much.
It's been hilarious.
Thank you so much. People are loving it. I'm loving it. I'm happy. It was, you know, it's one of those weird things. You record it like 6 months ago, and then you kind of hate everything you did.
Sure.
And then it comes out, and then people don't hate it, and you're like, oh, good.
Like, maybe it wasn't so bad.
It wasn't so bad.
I'm all right.
Because the longer you sit with it, the longer I just wanted to cut out everything. I was like, does that have to be an hour, or could it be 6 minutes?
Right.
You're like, did I really say that thing about the thing?
I don't want to say that, yeah. But I did.
Yeah.
I mentioned the Proffitt Brothers by name. There's a large chunk of HGTV material in the middle of my special.
You know what?
We're going to get there, actually.
Yeah, okay, and okay. People need the HGTV. They love it and they need it, and it's important.
I agree.
Oh, it's good programming.
It is. I mean, I don't want to go ahead, but right. I will say that we all live in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. The best programming is on HGTV.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm very comfortable to live in that statement.
I don't know anyone who works in that world.
I did, mm-hmm. Weirdly, but in a small...
I'm sorry, I'm messing everything up.
No,
we have a plan on the podcast.
No,
it's good.
It was in a smaller version. I was working on web series in the HGTV world, and I was not in the, like, TV part of it, mm-hmm. But I was into, you know, beautifying and doing little projects, and I dipped in, and I enjoyed myself.
Well, congratulations.
I mean, it's great.
It's the best.
It's pretty good.
No, but you can feel free. I mean, there's no, it's true.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's true. So we just did a mannequin challenge.
Thank God.
Thank God. I said on Twitter, I'm a veil.
I'm going to read
mannequin. Read my tweet.
Okay. Currently a veil for the mannequin challenge.
And guess what?
We did it. It was so fun.
We did it. That was November 14th that you tweeted that. And you know what? It took us a while, but we got there.
We got there.
And we're here.
Are we the last people to do the challenge?
We might be. I have a question, though.
Yeah.
I'm 35.
Great. Congratulations.
I feel like sometimes I know what's going on, but then I also like look at Twitter sometimes and I'm like, oh, I don't know what's going on.
That's right.
So
you don't.
Is it mannequin or mannequin? Because I tweeted mannequin.
You did.
Is that right?
I thought it was a typo when I saw it.
Yeah, now I'm confused.
I think it's mannequin.
You could be very right. It looks like it's coming up quim.
But
with
what
an
is
M.
that? What is the quim of it all? Okay, hold on, wait.
This is what I'm saying.
Did this have to do, is the song that is played with the challenge, is there a quim in there?
The song is called Black Beatles by Ray Schwimmer. So I don't think there's
Ray Schwimmer.
Did you like that I had that just like on the tip of my tongue?
Related to Dave Schwimmer?
I wish.
That'd be great.
But no.
I'm looking it up also.
But yeah, I thought we did a really good job.
I was shocked. It came out great.
I mean, I don't know, you know, what, you know, brought us here today with all this talent that we didn't know we had.
I think it's mannequin, guys. I think it's mannequin.
I think you're right.
Why? Should we figure it out right now? I will share that one of the challenges of the mannequin challenge for me was I had my mouth ajar and I felt a pool of liquid gathering and I was scared I was going to lose that pool mid-challenge.
And I was have my eyes open and I blinked 5 times.
And you laughed once.
I laughed once. I'm not good.
We had kind of locked eyes.
Yeah, we were looking into each other's eyes. It was romantic.
Some moment it got a little awkward and I was just like laughing.
That's good. So you have to get your game plan together before you.
Yeah, just staring at you as they're mannequin-ing was a little bit weird. And then I blinked and I kind of was like, oh, I'm blinking. God, I'm not good at this.
There seems to be a lot of like mentions of Portugal with the mannequin challenge.
Okay.
So I don't know if maybe.
No,
it's a Portuguese thing.
Great.
I don't know what's going on.
Someone better tell us.
Someone young tweet us.
Quickly.
Real dumb.
Quickly.
And by the time they do, this challenge will have been beyond over.
Yeah, it will be like the ice bucket.
Here's the tweet we're going to get. I can't believe you guys are just doing the Manaquim challenge and you don't even know what it means.
That's, but you know, it's fair.
Yeah.
Because we don't.
No, we're idiots.
Ah, Manaquim.
Oh, Manaquim.
Oh, Manaquim.
I am happy to know it's not a typo.
I know. Me too. I got very nervous when you said we thought it was a typo. Like, oh, that's my worst fear.
Well, you're a writer.
I am a writer.
You're a very funny man, so I'm sure you put a lot of time into your work to make sure that things are presented correctly.
I do, and I always ask my wife to spell check things before I shoot out into the ether. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she looked at that one because she also would have no idea what the fuck a manicure was.
Right.
So I was nervous.
Well, look, we're going to get to the bottom of this for you.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll get back to you on what it
means. That's what we do here at OMFG.
Okay, good.
We get to the bottom of really tough things that are happening in the world, you know?
Yeah.
You guys, I don't mean to brag. I was kind of like a sleeper success during that challenge because when I took modeling classes when I was 12, I had to stand as a mannequin in a storefront for hours on end.
Oh, wow.
So I've had a lot of practice.
You paid for that?
Yeah. Like a lot.
It was tough. There's more to the story, right? I mean, you...
That's pretty much it.
How many hours were you standing in front of the store?
You had like shifts of like 4-hour shifts.
4 hours?
I mean, you got breaks, but you were up there for a long fucking time.
It was the Gap. I worked at the Gap.
Yeah.
I was in the Gap window.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I worked at the Gap in Boston and I worked in like the early, like probably 2000. Mm-hmm. And it was when leather pants were big. Mm. Remember?
Yeah.
Remember that?
God, yes.
Yeah. So as a Gap employee, if you sold leather pants, you would get like a kickback, like a 10% kickback. Huh. So I was on this mission where I was like, I'm going to fucking sell so much leather. And I went and I was pushing leather so hard around the Gap. And no one, remember those are the worst. First of all, leather pants aren't great anyways.
No.
So the Gap in 2000, we're not really pumping out some awesome leather pants.
Some high quality leather pants.
But I would convince people to put on full leather outfits. And I'd be like, this is it. It's all you. And they're like, I don't think we should spend $600 at the Gap.
Well, like, think again.
To be honest, for me, if I had gone to that Gap and there was a gentleman pushing leather pants on me, I would feel great about it because they're the kind of thing I would always want to try on and want to buy,
yeah,
but would feel like I don't have the body type for it. So someone kind of pushing that would have worked on me in a hot second. Like a cute Gap employee being like, those are going to look great.
You would think I had like an awesome ear piercing thing going on the side of my head.
And she just called you hot. I mean,
you did. You did call me. You called me cute guy or hot guy. What you said?
I said cute, but you know,
it was. She said very handsome.
She said a god.
Like, she said a god.
If a Gap god told me to wear some leather, I would.
How did you even control yourself during the Manaquim challenge when the hot Gap guy is in the room?
I want out.
Okay. Anyways, it didn't work. No one cared that I was a hot, handsome hunk. Yeah. No one bought leather pants.
Oh. All right.
You know, it's for the best. They're really just swamp pants.
Yeah. You don't want them.
Nobody
want
wants them.
No.
Okay, so your comedy show is called Lion.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just tell us a little bit about the backstory of that beautiful animal name you selected?
Well, when I got married, I was like, I'm going to like get in shape and I'm going to really, you know.
Because that's married usually the opposite.
I married a beautiful person. She's
beautiful.
She's beautiful.
But she is a model.
She's not a model, but she was an actress and she like was in a bunch of commercials and, you know.
I fake modeled. She real modeled.
She real modeled.
I just want to put that out there.
I like saying she was a model. Okay. So she was.
I said it. You didn't.
Okay. Yeah. So she's beautiful. I was like, let's do this. Let's get married and I'm going to get in shape. So I wasn't in like horrible shape, but I never really like decided to like go to the gym or like that seriously. So I joined Crunch Fitness right here in Hollywood.
The only place to go. Highly recommend it.
Only recommend Crunch. If you want to work out and then also see gay sex in the showers illegally, you should go.
It's a nice benefit.
Yeah, the cops are always coming into Crunch Fitness.
For real?
Oh, yeah, no, it's a thing. It's not, I wasn't even.
Stop
like,
it.
Oh, yeah, not anymore, but there was a period. I didn't know. I'd always go use the bathroom. And then, you know, in the crunch, the whole crunch thing is you could see the shower. You could see the shadows as you shower.
Oh, God.
So they'd always call the cops because guys were having sex with each other in the showers. And I was just there having a vanilla shake.
Was this in West Hollywood or just?
This is West Hollywood.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess it was even worse in, there's an LA Fitness I belong to now where like.
That feels more on brand.
And they were doing like Craigslist like like hooker type things there.
Okay.
Anyways, I work out in wonderful places.
And
could you splurge? I mean, there's a new Equinox open. I don't know if that's
radar. I live in the valley, so there's no Equinox near me.
Would you guys say that Crunch is not everywhere in the country, right?
It's pretty much.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's pretty much everywhere.
So everybody knows.
Yeah.
So go on.
So I joined Crunch. I meet this guy, Kevin. Great guy. He goes by Kev. He's intense. Right away, he asked me, are you a zebra or are you a lion? I don't know, Kev. Which one goes to Starbucks 3 times a day? Because that's kind of my vibe, you know? And he went on to tell me that I need to become a lion because I really am a zebra. You know, like I felt at that point I was like a zebra, you know, I was eating Subway a lot. And he's like, Subway's the devil, cut out Subway. So I would eat a Subway tuna sandwich every single day.
That's so specific.
I know. And I would eat, you know, I would eat like hummus and pea. I would like eat all this, you know, whatever.
I'm concerned about your mercury levels alone. I mean,
I know. Lord. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I would just eat whatever. I just never even thought about that. So then he was like, you need to change it up. And then he basically made me become a lion. So I started working out with him all the time. He's now gone on to become this like celebrity big time trainer. And he now like works with like all these huge DJ, like all now, like I don't even see him anymore because like I have like, you know, 100 kids and it's too hard to keep up. And he's just become this like big time guy. He's got his own gym in West Hollywood called Heart and Hustle. But at the time he was just this guy at Crunch, like trying to like get it going. And he was so intense that people got really into it. I was one of the people who was like, yeah, I'm going to be a lion, Kev. Let's do this. He sends me texts at 4 a.m. to be a wolf. I'm like, yeah, I'm like roaring for him. Like it became crazy.
You roared for him.
I did. I would roar.
Now, have you guys just seen the documentary that came out with the guy who is the motivational man from back in the 80s.
Sure. Tony Robbins.
Okay,
Tony.
So he, in the documentary, gets in a dude's face who's kind of totally pussy-whipped by his wife, and he's like, you're a lion! I think this is Tony Robbins.
It might be. Well, Tony Robbins, I remember listening to him a long time ago, and he said that you should always work out in the morning because no matter what you do that day, you've accomplished something.
Bam.
And that is kind of like how, you know, Kev
how
was.
Kev,
but
Kev.
It got to the point where I was like, it was so serious about like not eating. Like it was so annoying for Rachel. I was like, just like so like this like no carb diet. Like I wouldn't eat fruit past noon. I was like working out. It was like so crazy. And then I signed up for a Spartan race. I did a mud run.
Oh my.
You went all in.
I went a 9-mile mud run in the mountains of Temecula, which if you guys haven't been to Temecula, normally you want to run from Temecula.
That's right.
I was in.
Or towards the winery.
Or towards the winery.
Yeah.
And I did this 9-mile mud run and I basically was just like, we wore lion shirts and I was like, I'm a lion. And I ended up like, the whole reason I did this, and I talk about this in the special, is because you get a picture of you jumping over the finish line, you know, and it says, I'm a lion. I could tell my son, look, I'm a lion. And the way it was my, I never did sports. Like I only did improv since I was like 9.
Right.
So I never did any athleticism at all.
So this went so hard.
So I went so hard so fast that when I did this race, I blew out my calf muscle and I fell to the ground and had a, like literally, I dragged my ass, like pull, not like, you know, people say drag ass. Like my hands were gripping the dirt and I pulled my ass forward for like a mile to the finish line.
Dear Lord.
And then I fell and then I basically, then you jump over a fire pit and you get this picture and I fell into the fire pit.
Oh, that's a Tony Robbins thing too.
It really is. I know. And that's actually like what my whole special is about, like me becoming a lion and then my last story of the special is this whole story about doing the actual Spartan race and how crazy it was. And I ended up just like in so much pain. My knee's never been the same.
Damn.
So I don't see Kev as much, but he still texts me.
And
he's gone on to be, you know, very successful. So it's good for him.
I like that you still have a relationship with your old trainer from Crunch Gym.
I do.
That says a lot about you.
Oh, yeah.
Your character.
I text him a lot. He texts me at 4 a.m. Like, he'll text me.
Is he well?
Like, now?
I'm concerned. I am concerned about
him. He wakes up at 4 a.m. to work out every day.
Okay.
So he'll text me at 4 a.m. that just says, like, attack the day. Fuck everything. Don't respond.
I mean, this is what – I was getting some of that vibe from P. Diddy on Instagram. Like, he gives you those things, you know, like, get after it and – this is your moment, like those kind of inspirational, like rise and grind. But I'm not giving you any of it in the nice way he would say it. But that's like the vibe. So
are
I do understand.
I'm looking up text, but
yeah. Oh, good.
I'm thrilled.
It. You know, there is something to being screamed at.
Yeah.
That feels good in a motivational way.
Yes.
And I get that from P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Diddy.
I love Puff Daddy.
I do too. I love him. Love him so much.
You know what happened for real in my life when I was in – I can't find the text. But I remember it was like the other day he texted me and he said – Kev.
Oh, I thought maybe –
Maybe P. Diddy. Oh, that would be great.
So casual.
Yeah, me and...
And you're like, I deleted it. I deleted it.
It's no big deal. Yeah, I was with Puffy earlier today. We were at Veggie Grill, which is right next to Crunch. This is basically a commercial for Crunch Fitness. I was at a Puff Daddy concert when I was in high school and in Connecticut, and he yelled at, Connecticut, you are my favorite city. And I always remember that.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. But he thought Connecticut was a city.
That's not right.
Not right.
That's not right. For people who don't know that, it's actually a state.
It's a state.
Yeah. In the United States.
It's a blue
His
state.
Heart was in the right place.
It was. God bless Puffy. God bless Kev.
God bless.
The two of them, I feel they would do great together.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. He's just very, you know, I recommend him to a lot of like comedy people too. So he started like working with like Megan Gans and like these like, all, right. he kind of started taking over this like comedy community. And just making lions out of all these comedy writers.
Who've never even thought to be a lion in all their days.
Oh, yeah.
They've been pussyfooting their whole lives.
Yeah. They were like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so fun.
What kind of so as a kid, what were you like when you were a kid? Like if you were in the world today with all that goes on?
I think what's funny is I don't think I was that different. I think I had a lot of energy and I was annoying, but I was young so people accepted my annoyance. Like I look back at stuff and I'm like, oh God, I was so annoying. Like what was I thinking?
You were just wearing amped. That?
I was amped all the time. I mean, I was like, get in trouble at sleepover parties and I'd get sent home and I'd always get nosebleeds and I'd get into like a lot of like weird things. Like I tried to snowboard and a boogie board and fell off and busted my knee and then wasn't in seventh grade because I was like recovering and I had like had so much surgery and like
that's from the boogie board?
Yeah.
You had a boogie board accident that left you laid up and made you miss seventh grade?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's a hell of a boogie board accident.
Yeah, I got really into David Letterman and Jerry Springer.
Like, you are so Jewish with that story. I've never heard anything more Jewish in my life.
It's a pretty Jewish story. But I've been sort of, like, just really into comedy for so long.
Yeah.
Like, when I was 9, I was watching Aiden Eve and the Improv. My bar mitzvah theme was stand-up comedy. So I've just always been, like, focused.
That's so cute.
So I've always been so into comedy. Like, I feel like I was a comedy nerd before comedy was a thing that you could be nerdy about.
Nerdy about. That's pretty great. You were ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Please tell me that you did some stand-up at your own bar mitzvah.
I didn't. You know why?
Why?
Because I was so sick because that knee accident from seventh grade gave me an infection in my knee.
God.
So I was really sick. So my bar mitzvah pictures, you're laughing so hard. My bar mitzvah pictures, I'm like almost green and I'm like still limping. So the only thing I could do was like read jokes when I did the candles. My mom wrote them in script, so I barely could read it. So I was like, "And Helene, I'm so glad you're here. It's winter and I saw a deer." You know, it's like looking bad.
Oh. Were those jokes your mom wrote or you?
My mom wrote them, but they were pretty much
really
rhymes.
That's really upsetting.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, well, I don't know why the candle lighting ceremony always has to rhyme.
Really?
Mine all rhymed. It was horrible.
Wait, what is the candy? What are you doing in the ceremony?
You just have a big cake for your birthday, right? But you have candles and you call people up to light the candle with you so that you are recognizing them
in your life, even though they're kind of strangers because you barely know anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
All my Jewish friends happened in high school. So I was totally Long Island. I got no.
What?
I know. Everybody was in my, and like all my, yeah. I missed it all.
But yeah, I think that I probably was pretty much the same because I honestly have a lot of the same friends. Like all my friends are from like a long time ago.
That's so sweet.
So, you know, for the past, like, I don't have a lot of, like, new friends besides, like, you know, a personal trainer or someone who I've, like, you know, met. But even him, I met him, like, 6 years ago.
Someone you had some gay sex with at Crunch.
Yeah.
Look, all in the Rolodex.
Come on. The gay man I met in LA Fitness and had sex at Crunch with. You know, a lot of things change.
Crossover.
Yeah. That's what we do.
Emily has pulled up a photo of you, and I think it's a really great she wrote a nice question next to it.
I we do a lot of research when we have someone coming in, and I, you know, found your IMDb page, which was easy, sort of. And the picture, I'm just wondering if you've ever considered changing your photo that's on there.
Is that the bar mitzvah picture?
That's still on IMDb?
Yeah, that's your
main profile?
That's my main picture?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Don't.
How old are you?
Your IMDb is also not updated. You were not a judge on Canada's Next Top Model.
I wish I was.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping to. But then it occurred to me it was not you.
No, but I have
not Canadian.
But I have done terrible things. If you scroll down through my IMDb, I starred in a movie with Frankie Muniz that never came out called My Sexiest Year. I played his friend. I drove off a cliff. Okay. Literally. I was in a movie called Mardi Gras, which also never – was released like only online or something, which was supposed to be like some movie with Josh Gad and Brett Harrison and Nick DiAugusto, like Ariel Keble. Like it was like – it was supposed to be a real movie.
Right.
That movie didn't come out. And then I was in a really, really bad movie. I forget the name of it, but it was like – oh, it was called Frat Party.
Well, that sounds fun.
It was fun. I was in there for like one day, and then someone's like, hey, I think you're in like a Skinamax movie. And I was like, oh, God damn it. I just won $1,100.
Let me live.
Let me live.
Back to HGTV.
Back to HGTV, because that's where I want to be.
Me too.
Everyone should.
So you are obsessed with real estate apps. Is that correct?
I am.
And is this because you have like an inside flipper inside of you?
Yeah. Well— Yeah. Well, yes.
Is this your preferred programming on HGTV?
Yes. I love the Product Brothers. I love I actually love Flipper Flop.
Okay.
I really like flipping houses.
Yeah.
And you do it?
I didn't really do it. I did it when we got a place and we like redid it, but it was like slowly. But I've now been through the whole process. Like yeah. I redid, I mean, not me physically, like with a great contract, right. who's Israeli. But I like.
But you facilitated.
But I facilitated.
I mean, your
it.
Knee has not.
No, my knee has not been not better. But yeah, I've you know, we redid our kitchen, both our bathrooms. Like I live in the house, like a mid-century house.
That's cool.
And it was like 1952. So when we first got it, like I think a bunch of old people died all at the same time in that house. Like it was bad and it was just gross.
Yeah.
But we knew like the bones yeah. were awesome and it was just this could be like this mid-century modern house. So we got it and now it's totally cool.
Well, that's really fun. If both, I feel like you and your wife must both enjoy it.
Oh, she would like to do it herself.
Yeah.
She is like
doesn't want your input.
No, just like oh. she wants to physically make. Like she does oh, that. Like she sews okay. and she like DIY stuff. Like that's what she loves. But she doesn't have enough time. So her stubbornness is sort of coming into play with like we have. I mean, talk about it in my special, but we have like just garbage in our garage yeah. that she claims is vintage something.
Yeah, it probably is.
It's just yeah, garbage. There is the grossest couch in my garage that is like off teal that has like spiders living in. She's like, I'm telling you, like it's going to be really cool when it's
she's
done.
She's going to redo it.
Like, how are you going to reupholster a couch? See? We have two kids.
Right.
It's like
it's
nuts.
Not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah. No.
But she does love the bones of that couch.
She loves the bones of the couch.
So I want to come shopping in your garage.
Come.
We do have kids come in here and teach us apps. So you're bringing us something we haven't heard before, like download the HGTV app.
Redfin, Zillow.
Okay.
Those are the apps that I go on Redfin. I would say I don't know. 25 times a day.
And you wow. like you bought your house. You're not. Are you actively looking for another one, or
well,
you're just?
We're always actively looking.
Okay.
But not really. Like I go to open houses on Sundays. Like
stop it.
Oh yeah. Most of the time on Sundays I'm at open house.
Yeah.
Right now
with the kids and everybody.
Yeah. My son loves it. He's like open it. We're gonna go open house today. Because especially like
snacks.
What?
Are there snacks?
Oh, I thought you said you have sex. I was like, at an open house?
No, no.
What are we going to do with our kids?
An animal.
No. Well, yeah, sometimes there's snacks, but we go.
What do the kids love about it?
Well, they go through the rooms and they play with the toys.
That's fun.
I love it. So, like, we went to open house a couple weeks ago that was, thought it was going to be a cool house, but it really wasn't. It needed to be, like, completely, like, gutted to the point that, like, we couldn't even think about it. But it was empty and gross. And my son was like, I'm kind of bored. And I was like, oh, if we could play these rocks. So he was like literally playing in like the sewage area. But he was loving it.
Huh. I like this activity. So
it's very fun.
Yeah.
Especially.
And how many you bought? Two houses?
Yes, I bought two houses.
And there's one maybe. You're like, there's a third that's available in your mind, but you're not going to pull the trigger anytime soon unless it's perfect.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
I think what I would like to do is depending on what happens with this new president and what happens with the world, we've been sort of saying to, you know, because LA, the market is so crazy.
Yes.
So like we bought our house a long time ago. So we were thinking maybe we like go and sell our house and, you know, try to like get into another place and flip it and do all this stuff. But now we're just kind of like just going to houses for fun because it's too, I think it's too scary right now.
Yeah. I wouldn't buy right. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't seem
I mean, I wouldn't buy a third property right now.
Yeah. I don't.
I might buy it, you know, in general.
Right.
A something, but.
It seems like it might be too much, but that's what I love doing. I mean, the coolest thing that happened, I don't know, this is boring, but the most exciting thing that happened to me this year was I had an idea for my neighbor. House, I was like, this is like this awesome like land. There's like a lot of land, especially in LA. There's not a lot of like the lot size are
right,
small.
They're small.
So this was like hillside, but it had like a flat area, and I was like, this could be awesome place. So I told my the contractor, the Israeli contractor Ronnie, I was like, we got to go check out this house, and he was like, this is great. So he was gonna buy it, and he was like, you should buy it. I was like, I can't buy this house. And he's like, okay. So he bought it, and I went to like the first contractor meetings with the architect, and we talked about what he's gonna do and like blow out the walls, and then he was gonna put in a pool, and he was gonna build a 4,000 square foot house, and he couldn't get the permits though. So then it was like falling through, and he's like, hey, I need to do something else. Do you want to buy the house now? And I was like, I still can't buy the house. So then the neighbor bought the house. And now I've watched the neighbor build my house. He was all so many of my ideas.
Weird.
It's so weird. It's so cool, though.
Yeah.
I feel like do your friends tap you as a resource when they're looking to buy something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I know me and my wife like know like all the LA areas. Like we've like looked on. We'll go as far as like what's in Calabasas, what's in South Pasadena.
Oof.
Like we'll be looking around just to kind of get a sense of like what's out there.
Where do you feel like if somebody wanted to move and get the best bang for their buck in LA, where are you sending them? And I'm just asking for myself.
For a friend. Here's my question.
Okay.
Do you care about good schools?
Yeah.
You care about good schools?
Right.
Do you need to be near West LA? Do you care where you live? Do you care? Do you have a certain location?
I don't want to be that far from my sister, probably. Like, not
who's
super.
Who's in Los Feliz.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't want to be that far from her.
So for you, I would say you should move to Mount Washington.
Okay.
Because I feel like Mount Washington and Eagle Rock, things are like, the prices are pretty reasonable still. And there's some awesome houses there. And the schools are good in Mount Washington.
Okay. That is a hot tip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one that probably most of our listeners don't care about. But thank you. I needed it.
Yes.
Mount Washington.
Well, I think we should take a quick break.
Oh, okay, fine.
Sorry.
No.
I got excited.
We'll be right back.
OMFG!
In 1962, a mysterious strangler committed the first of 13 random murders, shocking Boston and the world.
Who were these women? And why would anyone want to kill them?
It was the largest manhunt in the city's history.
What is Mary Sullivan's picture doing on the front page of the paper with the Boston Strangler?
50 years later, the cases remain open. Stranglers, the new crime series from Earwolf. Subscribe now in iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
OMFG!
All right. We are back.
With Dan Levy.
Here I am.
And we are ready to talk children.
Let's do it. I have two.
Abe and Romy?
Yeah.
Is cool. Romy and Michelle your favorite movie?
No. But
it's fine.
But it's my wife loves it. I mean, I love the movie. My wife loves the movie. But we didn't name her after. It's just that my wife was going to be named Remy. And
I like that name.
And we liked that name. But then, so she wanted to name her daughter Remy. But I had a really weird thing happen with a girl and me named Remy. So
sex.
I felt. It wasn't even sex.
Oh, okay.
It's you want to know what happened?
Kind of.
Okay. Basically, there was this girl. I hooked up with her in a car. We were like 20. This was a very long time ago.
Yeah, great.
She went to my college. But it was we hooked up at a car. Then we were drunk, and I was like, will you drop me off at this bar? And she's like, cool. So as she's dropping me off at the bar, she gets pulled over by the cops. And the cops arrest her and give her a DUI. And I was like, what should I do? I did not know her.
Are you in the back? Are you in the car?
I'm in the car.
You're
we
in
like
the
just
car.
Hooked up.
Right.
And I'm about to leave. And she's like, and the cop's like, if I was you, how old are you? And I was like, I'm 20. He's like, if I was you, I'd get out of this car. And I was like, okay. So I ran. So this
I would have run too.
Right?
Yeah.
So this girl, I did not know her really. Like I knew her like kind of.
Yeah.
And hooked up with her. And then she went to jail that night
that
in Beverly
sucks.
Hills. And she, I think to this day, she still does not like me.
Well.
Which is understandable.
Kind of.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But she her name is Remy.
I mean, look, yeah. It's kind of like how I feel about Botox. I haven't had them yet, but I don't want to be a hero. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. You weren't trying to be a hero. It's like, look,
yeah.
if it's, let's.
Like, what am I going to do, bail you out of jail?
Right. I mean, what are you supposed to
like,
do?
Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I guess I could have stayed in the car, but the cops would eventually had me go. Like, I don't.
And also, you were underage drinking.
I was underage drinking, hooking up with.
Yeah. No, you're fine.
Thank you.
Yeah. Does she.
You're absolved.
Do you feel like she thought. I guess the sticky spot is that because you requested a drop off and it happened en route to your request.
But here's the thing. It happened. I was basically at. We were on Sunset Boulevard. So I was at this one. We were at this bar, Dublin's. That was a bar.
Oh, my God. I haven't even thought of that
in
so 2000s, long.
Early 2000s. Yeah. And I said, drop me off at the Standard, which was next to Dublin's.
Yeah, it's a. You didn't need a drop off.
It was my fault. So yeah. I definitely should have, like me now, like I definitely would have gone to jail. No, I would have gone to the jail.
Showed
to, like,
up at the jail.
And been like, hey, let's call your parents.
Right, facilitated something.
Yeah, like, but what was I going to do? I was 20. I'm going to go bail her out for like $5,000 and like, right.
No.
You know.
No. Okay.
Anyway, so that's why her name's Romy. She's one. Beautiful. She's so cute.
Oh, I love it. Okay. So what is it like raising your kids on social media?
How old are they?
3 and 1.
Okay. Did you guys have a talk about, like, are we going to post pictures of them? Are we not? And you do.
Yeah. Post them. We never really had a talk. It's just like they're so part of our life. It's weird to me when people have kids and don't post them. Mm-hmm. I guess if you're a celebrity or something, you don't want, you know— I guess.
Have you ever had, like, weirdos coming after you about the children?
No.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Like, yeah. I would. But, I mean, yeah. No, I haven't. But, no, we didn't really have a conversation about it. We just both – I mean, Rachel has – all her stuff is private. My stuff is more public. But,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe we should have it tonight. Now I feel bad.
It sounds like you're probably both on the same page, which is like it's not that big of a deal. Because if it was, somebody would have said something.
Yeah, and also like they're so cute and right. I want the world to know how cute they are. And we have so much fun. So I'm like fine with like sharing things here and there. I mean, I think because of this particular special, like and I talk so much about them.
Yes,
and
you do.
You know, they're talking about them nonstop. And then I feel like right now there's like probably more videos of them than normally I would post a video like once a month or something or every other month. Where now
it seems not going crazy. Right.
But also my son is like super funny. So like he says funnier shit than I would ever say on social media. So need those likes, you know what I'm saying?
You gotta get them.
We do have a tweet. My 3-year-old just said, I'm happy when I put my silly butt out. So maybe we should all try that.
That's so cute.
It's
so good. And just a little like shake little dance. With it.
He gets so excited. Like,
The silly butt is the best butt.
It's so, because right now he is 3.5. He's going to be 4. So this age is awesome. Like there's the, like, I feel like when he was 2, he would kind of freak out all the time. Like we couldn't even go anywhere there was cookies because he'd be like, I want cookies. Where now we're like, we can't cookies. He's like, all right, cool. I'm going to go to my room. You know, he's just totally, you know, he's very cool.
He's like got it down.
But my daughter is more like my wife. Like she's like very stubborn. She's like, meow, meow. That's what she says most of the time. Meow, meow.
I love her already.
I know. She just like walks around like eating hummus out of like a bucket with a straw. And she's like, meow, meow. I'm like, Romy, give me a kiss. She's like, meow, mommy, meow. I'm like, all right.
She sounds like me too. Oh my God, I want to bring over like a wine cooler and hang out with her.
Yeah. No, I know. She's totally just going to be sitting there just like flipping through a magazine. Be like, just judging everyone.
Grouse.
Grouse.
So what scares you the most about them being on social media when they're older?
Or anything?
Well, I guess what scares me, I honestly haven't thought about that. Like, I should.
I feel like you're living in the moment.
I'm living in the moment.
You're not trying to get ahead of yourself.
Not trying to get ahead of myself. But I do know from other people who have like older kids, like it's crazy because they're addicted to the phone. I mean, I'm addicted to my phone.
Right.
And I'm not 12. So growing up, I mean, they're going to grow up. Like my son knows like my password and he go, you know. It's totally.
And he's 3.
He's 3.
He's a genius.
He's a genius.
Yeah.
He's a genius child. So I feel like I just am nervous that they're going to be addicted to the phones and they're going to like just live their life inside. That's what makes me nervous about LA, about, you know, that we're in this bubble where I grew up in Connecticut, I would like play in the woods, I'd fall off boogie boards, you know.
Yeah. Look,
I collected
sounds
knives.
Like I don't recommend that for anybody in your family with your genes.
I know. But I was like always outside. I went through a rollerblading phase. You know, I did a lot of stuff where I feel like I just don't want them to be stuck in their room, you know.
Right.
But hopefully at that point, we would have flipped so many houses. We're now like in this giant house and we're just, it's totally flipped and we're loving it.
That's and your son is leading the construction.
Exactly.
That's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they have like little the are they those LA kids? Do you know what I'm when I say LA kids, does that mean anything to you?
Yes, I'm nervous about that.
Are you seeing them going down that road?
No. Well, they're also 3-1. I mean, Romy kind of acts like Girls at Coffee Bean.
Right.
On Sunset and Fairfax, like, you know, she kind of
has. I love it so much. Her brand is great.
Her brand is pretty great. Abe is, I don't think he's going to be in LA. He's got LA hair. You know, always wears shorts. Swoop. He's got a swoop. You know, he's hip. He's got sneakers. You know, he's cool, but he also really appreciates comedy. So he sort of like tells us about his class, like his preschool class, based on who's funny.
Really?
That is the best.
It's really cute because we didn't like tell him that. And he's like, I like this person because they're funny. I like that person because they're funny. Alan only speaks Hebrew, but I like him because he's funny. Like, all right.
Aww. Does he go to the JCC?
He does not go to the JCC, okay. But there's Jews everywhere.
I know. Well, I'm just thinking of poor Alan speaking only Hebrew.
But making a meal of it, you
know. Loving
apparently
it.
He's like still able to kill.
Yeah, he's just crushing hard. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we did.
What?
Oh my God! That was so quick.
I know.
Well, this was the most fun podcast ever. So thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much.
I loved it. I'm sorry that you know we went really deep on the real estate stuff, and I feel like we could have just turned it into a whole not funny, just straight up talking about Redfin and homes.
I got Mount Washington out of that, so I needed that information.
Okay, good.
So everybody, I feel like, will respect that, listened, and knows that I need it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I think it was great.
All right. Great.
We had to have it.
We did, and we did it.
We did it.
I can't believe it's over. That's insane.
And we maniquimed.
Maniquim for life.
And look for that maniquim. Where do we find you?
Oh, at Dan Levy on Twitter, Dan Levy Show on Instagram. And I'm number one king on Snapchat, which is Dan Levy Snappy.
Oh, shit.
Ooh.
Can you, in a few sentences, explain CISO and where people get it and how they get to you and your special?
Well, funny you ask.
Okay.
CISO is NBC's new streaming platform for only comedy.
Ah.
So all the great comedy shows that are out there, Bajillion Dollar Properties, Hidden America, Take My Wife.
All CISO.
Mm-hmm. So there's some really awesome, just cool, like if you're a comedy nerd, you should have CISO. And what they're doing now is they're doing a streaming fest because as a comedian, you like travel around the country or world, like going to these comedy festivals. And CISO right now is doing this streaming fest. So you can basically watch an entire festival on your laptop at home. So you go to CISO.com and you can watch it right there.
And it's like you have the CISO.com and then you get the app and you're good to go.
Exactly. You go on CISO.com and it's if you sign up now, it's free for 3 months and you can watch it through your Amazon app on your TV and everyone's happy. And you can watch my special, Nick Thune's special coming out, Janine Garofalo's has a special. It's all great.
Great. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks.
OMFG! Dan Levy.
So adorable. Energy for days.
I mean, look, I remember reading that one Whitney Cummings
go on
says that he looks just like Rachel Maddow.
Oh my God, that's insane.
But he's so cute.
You're right.
But he also looks like Rachel Maddow.
You know, Matt McConkie also thinks he looks like Rachel Maddow.
No, he doesn't. Oh, thinks Dan does?
No, thinks himself does.
Oh, no.
I love his energy. What a fun guy. We never got to the bottom of the whatever shoes. I forgot about that. We were in the gym. Oh, my God, you're pulling up Maddow, and they look exactly alike.
Like with the glasses? Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God, that's 100%.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, it's great.
She nailed it.
Yeah.
I'm so happy we have not done any challenges that are out there in the interwebs. We've not been planking. We've not, whatever the frig, we don't do ALS. We don't do. We did. For once in our lives, we got on a challenge and we did it. It was painless. It took 3 seconds. I think it came out great.
But you'll let us know.
Yeah, you'll
as you want
know.
To do.
It's out there in the world right now, but we'll send it back out when this episode airs and you'll let us know. Did we do it? Did we do the mannequin?
Oh,
justice.
God. Just someone help us.
Help us, and also, I don't care, but also let us know.
And I just want to shout out our sweet listener, Megan Gallagher at Hairflip Megan. What if my wine mom aspirations are not at all ironic? At Brothy Gupta at OMFG Pod. Great question. Guess what? We support that.
Live into your truth.
Be yourself.
Step your pussy up.
Drink that wine, bitch.
That's right.
All right.
I'm Deanna Chang at Deanna Raphael.
I'm Emily Foster at Frida Foster.
And we are OMFG Pod at, no, and we're OMFG at OMFG Pod.
Bye. Bye.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.